Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
South African We Could Be Related is a songwriting and production duo formed by Aidan Nyokea and Devon Murray. Originating from Cape Town, the duo creates alternative pop and alternative rock music to garnish under their own name, while they produce predominantly pop and alternative music for a wide variety of local and international artists that include Ben Rodriguez, Neon Dreams, Bushlair G, David Derman, and more. The duo got their first break with the release of Was It Real by Ben Rodriguez, which was co-written and produced by the duo. They then continued to go on national and international tours alongside Ben Rodriguez, featuring their own alternative tracks during the set. Up next on the Celeb Savant, we've got Devon Murray and Aidan Nyokea from We Could Be Related.
Devon, first, where are you in the world and how are you doing?
How's it, guys? My name's Devon, and I'm sitting in a very cold Cape Town right now.
Aidan, where are you about?
I'm also sitting in a very, very cold Cape Town right now.
Devon, how did the name We Could Be Related come to be? How was that choice chosen?
It was such a magical moment because it took a whole year, I would say, to get it together. But we sat around for a year trying to figure out what we would call it ourselves. And then one day Aidan and I were playing like a round of golf or something. And Aidan's like, dude, we could be related. We look like brothers. Everyone keeps saying that, saying, you know what? Here we are, like a year plus later.
Cool. I like that. So just on the side swipe, pun intended with the golf, that's when the name came through. So cool. So Aidan, let's go back to you now. And at what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you feel cool? I want to be in this creative world. And how did that journey progress?
I would definitely say it like maybe around the age of like 15. At school, we had to get a laptop. So my dad got me a MacBook and I discovered GarageBand and I pretty much like started from there. Then after GarageBand, I got Logic Pro and I was like, oh, okay. Obviously, I was playing cello at the time. So from there, I got my first audio interface and then pretty much like climaxed from there. Just kept like, oh, I got to buy this. I have to buy that. Oh, let's try this. Let's try that. And one thing led to another. And I was like, you know what? Maybe this music is kind of fun.
Did you say you were playing cello? Do you still play cello?
Still play cello, yeah.
And any other instruments?
Yeah, I play guitar, I play bass guitar, pretty much anything with like strings I can play.
And then how did you meet Devon? And obviously we heard the name of the band. How did that formation happen?
We met each other at university. So we were studying at the School of Audio Engineering, which is SAE. And he shot me a text like a week into uni. And he was like, hey, how does this one plugin work? And it pretty much went from there, you know.
Devon, your journey and story.
I feel like it's sort of polar opposite to Aidan, but the same. It's like, okay. As a kid, I started playing classical instruments. I played violin and piano. And then I grew up playing in all these bands and like these punk bands and this hard rock stuff. And then when I met Aidan, sort of our strengths sort of played into each other. So where I was lacking, you know, I can't play cello, I can't play bass, but maybe I can do the guitar thing half decent. You know, it kind of came together when I met him. We started making music together. And a year later, we said, why don't we make music together as a band, as opposed to just, you know, whatever we feel like.
Aidan, first, how do you guys create music? What is that process? Is there a process?
I would say it comes in a variety of like ways. It's like you could have a melody stuck in your head. And then with that melody, you come up with a chord progression and then you go from there. And you can start with the drums. You could start with like a riff you've got in your head. It all comes in such a variety of ways. You could also be inspired by a song. You're like, you know what? Let's see my take on that. And it can turn into something beautiful. Like there's so many ways a song can be created.
Devon?
Yeah, I think I like the idea of having something stuck in your head. That's quite cool. As any creative, really, you kind of faced with a blank wall before you start anything, and just having this random melody in your head or like this random idea, even if it's like the feeling of a song to start off with, just to kind of slingshot you into the songwriting process, which is really cool. And then I think like I thrive off the collaborative sort of feel, which is why Aidan and I feel like we work so well together. It just, if I've got an idea and maybe I don't know where to go through it, Aidan knows where to go with it and vice versa.
How did the collaboration with Ben Rodriguez happen, Aiden?
This song basically started off when we were on tour with Ben back in September of 2024, so September last year. And I was at his dad's beach house, and I had this bass line. Again, like, this is how songs they start. I had this bass line in my head. And then I sat down in his dad's study and recorded the bass line. And then the song kind of sat around for maybe like a month after that. And then Ben was at my place, and I was like, you know what? Why don't you try and sing over this? And then he had this cool idea that he was like, ooh, there's this one Backstreet Boys song. Let's make a chorus like that, like this, like really stripped, like chorus, or whatever. Then we did it. And then again, the song sat for a little bit. And then Devin and I were like, hey, yo, this song's really cool, but it doesn't really match Ben's sound that he's going for right now. What if we hop on it too and see what we can create?
Devin, anything to add?
That's pretty much that's it from our side. I think some of the cooler parts, like when Aiden was when Ben was at Aiden's place, at the time Aiden was going through some renovations, so they were tracking his original vocals like in a cupboard with a blanket, you know, some of the sort of stuff you always see in movies and whatnot. So that was cool.
When you guys are so used to your energies and working together, Devin, when you bring someone else into the room, for example, Ben or whomever else, even though you know him, his energy is still different from the energy that you guys have got sort of gelled together. When that new energy comes into the room, does it take a moment for you guys to sort of like feel it out, or do you just say, well, let's just carry on with that blank wall and see where everything lands?
I will say, like, it's probably, I think it's the hardest thing you can do as like a producer songwriter is you're writing music in the a lot of the time for somebody else, and you kind of have to, it's kind of like method acting where you have to put yourself in their shoes. So like if somebody like Ben is coming to the studio and you know he's going through, let's say he's going through a heartache or this, you kind of literally have to imagine, put me in that exact same scenario with my personal relationships or whoever I am in life. And it's definitely an energy change up. And you know, we introduce our sound, he introduces his own sound, and you kind of have to find that balance of who's right and who's, you know, not that anyone's wrong, but you know,
Yeah.
whose direction we're going to take.
Aiden, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would say it definitely is just very important, like really embedding yourself in like the feeling of the song, especially like sometimes it's not really good to just throw random things at the wall and you know, like, oh, like really see what that like the artist is feeling, like what does the song feel like? That's pretty much what I would say.
You've got this new release with Ben. What else is happening over the next period, Aiden?
Definitely more releases from Devin and I will say, and gearing up for something special. I can't say yet because it's not actually announced yet, but there's some definitely like special stuff coming in the next few months.
And Devin, what do you enjoy about performing live?
It's one of my like biggest passions with music. It's you get to watch what you spent most of the time years ago, months ago, writing a song. And you know, once the song's out there, it's not your song anymore. It's the people's song. You know, you can't change anything, it's theirs. And then you get to share that moment. It's a one time you are face to face a lot of the time with these people, and you hopefully they're singing it back. The song's affected them in whatever way it's affected them, and it's affected you in your own personal way. And it's a magical moment between both you as an artist and an audience member. And you each have your story to that song.
Aiden, anything to add to that?
I couldn't agree more. It's like the feeling you get, like when people are singing like the lyrics you wrote to like also like the melody. It's like when they're singing it back to you, it's like you sitting on this little couch writing it out, coming up in your head, and then like literally a few months later, a few, like a year later, it's like over 1,000 people singing it back to you. It's like a really surreal experience.
I'm that dude that's right up in front. I'm jamming and dancing. I maybe take my cell phone out for a couple of songs, a couple of videos, pictures. Devin, you referenced being face to face with the audience, but oftentimes it's not face to face, it's face to phone. Your face to their phones, because a lot of people are posting and tweeting and videoing and stuff like that. From your perspective, being on a stage, potentially seeing a bunch of phones, Devin first. Do you find that takes away from that energy of that moment, or it's just where society is at the moment?
Like, listen, I don't just perform. I go to these concerts. I go watch some of my favorite artists that I listened up growing up. And obviously, I'm going to take a moment to just capture that so I can relive it. You know, take the photo, take the selfie, do what you want. I do think it is a little bit of a shame if like your entire set is just phones. I mean, the second you play the more popular songs, they immediately sort of pull out their phones, and that's you do lose a little bit of depth that you have with the audience that you did before. But yeah, I think unfortunately that's just the nature of today's generation, and it's not something you can stop. But hopefully the music speaks for itself, and people get so lost in the music that you can be bothered to take your phone out.
Aiden, anything to add from your side?
Yeah, listen, I'll definitely say it is also a very surreal experience because you've got like eyes on you, technically, like, because who's going to see this later? I am always a big fan of like, if we're the ones playing live, yes, record us, post us on social media, get the word out there. That was so cool on stage. But I also do agree, it's like maybe you don't need to do it for the whole set. Record your favorite song and enjoy the rest with us on stage. You know what I mean?
So I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to you guys for all the hard work and the creativity. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklet, the thank yous, and so forth. Not necessarily in South Africa because we don't have access, but the rest of the world, UK, Europe, America, massive comeback of physical. In the UK, a couple of years ago, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Also, last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on, daily exchanges on, for some other tax purposes. And there needs to be high frequency of exchanges every day for a product to be in this basket. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now back in the basket. And the research is showing it's the younger kids, the teenagers that are diving into this world, not the older nostalgic people. And then again, we have these streaming platforms that people consume music on. Aiden, what is your observation of the landscape at the moment?
Yo, streaming has basically, it's kind of like in my mindset, it's kind of made music like free in a sense. It's like, would you, Dev also always says this so many times, it's like, especially for like revenue as an artist, it's would you rather have 1,000 people buy your CD or 1,000 people stream song? And 10 times out of 10, they'll be like, give me that CD right now. One thing I will say is streaming has made music so accessible, which I think has also just accelerated the industry to like new levels, which I am also, I guess, pretty grateful for.
Devin, anything to add?
I still have my CD collection I found the other
Yes.
day. I'm a big fan, and vinyl as well. I mean, the biggest shame with vinyl in today's day and age is it's not the cheapest thing. But what music is this magical thing. It's magic. It's the closest thing we have to magic. You're listening to something and it changes your emotions. And we think it isn't physical, but it is. When you go and buy an album, it's not just one single, it's somebody who's telling a story. And the physicality of holding that, you own it, you hold it. This is yours. This is for you to listen to. I remember going to Musica and all these stores. You used to meet people. Some guy would be like, new Linkin Park CD, check this out. And that's how you shared music. And then eventually we got Bluetooth, and now it's just, let me just share on WhatsApp. But I truly miss the physical age, as if I was there.
Well, like I said, I mean, it is expanding. For example, last year in the UK as well, they've got HMV, those HMV stores, which is basically CDs and vinyls and games and stuff. And they had closed the massive five-story store in Oxford Street. And because of the upsurge of and demand of physical again, that's now reopened. But also what you mentioned, Aiden, about the having 10,000 CDs or 1,000 streams, I believe it needs to be more of an education piece for the listeners. I was speaking to a group of 10 people at one point and 8 people at another point. These are people who listen to songs on streaming. They go to a concert every now and then. I said to the guys, if an artist has had 100 million streams, how much money do you think they made out of that 100 million streams? The first group of people said 50 million, and the second group of people said 1 million. And I said, well, actually, no, it's more like 1,000. And they were shocked and horrified by those stats. They thought the artist, you as artists, were making killings with the amount of streams you're making. So I feel that, yes, it is your business card to tour wherever. It is allowing accessibility to other countries. But there also needs to be an education piece to the listeners for them to understand that you guys are not making millions from a million stream. You guys are making maybe a couple of hundred. Your thoughts on that, Devin?
Yeah, I think, like Aiden mentioned, that because we're spending, what, 50 to 100 rand a month, and I think Spotify's free if you can bear a couple of ads, the mindset that I have infinite access to music. I've seen something I like on TikTok of friends telling me I can go listen to it for free. Even as a songwriter, I mean, songwriters don't even get paid like by the artists. They get paid in percentages on the sales. So the only way for songwriter to get paid, which I mean, that's a problem in itself, but
yes,
full of interest, is to go through percentage upon percentage upon percentage. And if your favorite artist is in a really hectic, no, traditional record label deal, like back in the 80s, they called them 360 deals, the artist himself is taking such a minute fraction of that. So let's say you get a million streams. Realistically, you're looking at a couple thousand rand, and the amount of money you probably put into marketing that or studio time, whatever, you're breaking even. In this day and age, a million streams, you may be breaking even on what you put on versus, hey, someone bought my CD for 120 rand. And yes, they get unlimited spins, but that person streaming my song 120 times will give me 0.001% of that, you know?
Exactly. Aiden, anything to add around that?
Yeah, I will say in this day and age, streaming is just like, obviously there are a lot of, I would say like activists, like especially in America now, they are raising the price to, instead of like half a cent per stream, it's now 1 cent per stream. So at least, well, it's like doubled. So at least they have realized that they actually are paying artists too little. And like a mega corporation like Spotify is actually like underpaying the millions of artists.
Ray, that British singer, she's speaking out about it. Snoop Dogg was speaking out about it. I think Chappell Roan was also speaking out about it. So the more artists speak about it, the more it becomes heard. Aiden, I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 5 years, 2 minutes, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that. I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five artists once we finish this conversation, who would those artists be? And if you can think of specific songs of those artists, what would those songs be?
Damn. Okay, geez. My do or die would definitely be Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's going to have to be Red Hot Chili Peppers. Uh-huh. Any, like pretty much any song on their discography, especially if like the Californication album, like The Getaway or By The Way. Dominic Fike. I love Dominic Fike. Geez, who else? What I am more a fan of, and it's not really the artist, but it's actually the producers behind the artists. I have like played that. I go listen to like Max Martin, which means I love listening to like Ariana Grande.
Yeah,
not because it's like the yin and yang. It's like Ariana Grande is such a good vocalist, but the production is absolutely crazy. Or like Katy Perry because it's Benny Blanco. Or Billie Eilish because it's Phineas. If I'm gonna do a top five, it'll be Red Hot Chili Peppers, then like a Dominic Fike, then I'm gonna say an Ariana Grande just because it's Max Martin, and then I'll say Billie Eilish because it's Phineas, and probably Olivia Rodrigo because it's his name is Daniel Nigro. He's an incredible producer.
Okay. Devin, who's your five?
I don't know why, but right now we're rocking with Nickelback. Like a lot of Nickelback. They get a lot of flack, but you know what? We're too far in society to give them flack. They're too good. I've got the 1975. I just think for me, it's such a pivotal moment in my career is when I found out who these guys from Manchester were. Oaxys, some more Manchester Oaks for you. Matthew Moll as well. Matthew Moll, I always say, is probably one of my favorite artists of all time. I don't know what it is. It's just something about his work. Mm. And then he's thrown something iconic, something I want to say, I listen to a lot of classics. Maybe I listen to so much Slipknot growing up. And a lot of people want to know who Slipknot is. But the ones who do know understand it's this really aggressive band coming out of Iowa, doing stuff that no one really was doing at the time. But yeah, those are my five picks.
Such diverse range from both of you. So fantastic. So Devin, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say to the audience?
No matter where you are in the world, I hope music changes your life the way it's changed my life. I appreciate you listening to whatever knowledge I did have, and I hope you can use it to benefit your music prowess, your day-to-day going about. And if you like what we have to say here, go take a look at some of our music, and I hope you have a lovely day.
Aiden, anything to add from your side?
Definitely. Music changed my life, so hopefully it'll also change yours. And I just think, you know what, give all those artists a chance. You know, listen to your favorite local artists, listen to your Spotify recommendations. Definitely go to your day list and have a good day. And yeah, I definitely would just say go stream our music, and I can't wait to see what we have in store for all you guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.